Have you ever had something come across your phone, email, text, whatever, and you thought, oh, this is interesting, I need to respond? Maybe it was, hey, you have some questions, or someone tried to enter into your Facebook or Instagram or account, or maybe it's like you have money available, or you have a, and you go to click on it and they have you log in only to find out later that someone was trying to scam you and was using deceptive tactics. And then later you're like, why did I do that? Why did I give them my information? And you're doing all the hassle of it. Or all of a sudden you didn't do anything and they're trying to steal from you. Or maybe it's in the area of relationships, and you've heard the phrase, if I only knew then what I know now, I would have never been with that person, never got in a relationship with that person, never gone down that business opportunity, never would have taken that job. Sometimes we make mistakes out of ignorance. Sometimes we make mistakes because somebody on the other side is trying to deceive us, trick us. And that actually, besides the people who do it, that's actually a tactic the devil uses. You know, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, talks about as a seed goes into people's lives, when they hear the word and they receive understanding, that all of a sudden that there is a byproduct of that word that with understanding coming into your heart. Romans tells us it's believing. Romans 10:17 calls it faith. And the devil doesn't want you to hear the word. He'll do everything right now to get you distracted on anything and everything you need to do tonight, tomorrow, whenever, or what you had to deal with from before yesterday. Because he doesn't want you to hear the word. Because the word makes that big of a difference in people's lives. And if people do listen to it and embrace it, then the Bible says in Matthew 13, he'll put pressure on it, trying to get you to walk away from it and say, oh, life will never be any different. Has the devil ever told you when you begin to pray or begin to read the Bible or scripture, you think, oh, wow, I can have that, or I can be that, or I can experience that. And the devil will try to convince you that's really not for today. Nothing will change. Let it go. And you try to go back. It's the pressure of the enemy, not just putting pressure on you, but putting pressure on the Bible says, for the word's sake. But if you move beyond that level, I believe it's a tier level, that Matthew 13 goes on to say that all of a sudden, people that hear the word, receive it with understanding, and stand their ground and believe regardless of the pressure, they'll begin to produce some fruit. And they'll begin to see some change. But that doesn't mean the story's over, because the Bible says in Matthew 13 that at that point, if the devil can't pressure you out of the journey, he'll try to sidetrack you out of the journey. He'll try to get you to do a detour to get you to stop producing fruit. Because it literally says that he'll deceive them, deceitful riches, and he'll entice them. That's what he did with Jesus. When Jesus was being tempted, he would begin to challenge his identity. And when Jesus would always respond against the pressure with the truth of the word, finally the devil said, let me take you and show you something, and showed him the kingdoms of the world and said, if you worship me, bow down to me, you can have all this. What was he doing? It wasn't working with the pressure. Most Christians never get past the pressure. They give in at the pressure level. Although what God has for you is to rise up regardless of the pressure. But people don't like me if I live for Jesus. Or if I stand up, I'm going to have people talk about me. They're talking about you anyway. But they won't like me. They really don't like you right now. They just act like they like you. Come on, somebody. You can't worry. If you're going to do great things for God, if you're going to do great things in life, you cannot worry about everybody who does not like you. Oh, we just need to follow and call them all and say, please like me, please like me. Listen, if they don't like you, just let them move on. We love people, but if people are like, I don't like you anymore, well, we love you anyway, goodbye. Because if they leave you once, they're going to probably leave you twice and dangle it over your head. And so the devil tries to entice Jesus to walk away from the plan and destiny of God. He tries to, Matthew 13, tries to entice people. If the pressure didn't stop you and you're hungry for the things of God and you're pushing through, he'll try to entice you. He can't force you. He can't make you. Though John 10:10, Jesus said, the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. He doesn't overpower you. If he would overpower you, he would overpower every anointed man and woman of God. He didn't try to, he could not overpower. If he would, if he had the ability to overpower, he would have walked into the garden where Adam and Eve were back in Genesis and overpowered them and forced fed them the fruit from the tree. Right? I got a stick here and I'm going to beat you until you take it. Nope. He can't force, but what does he do? He tries to entice. For the New Testament tells us that Eve was deceived. She's the one that ate it and then gave it to Adam to eat it, of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But he couldn't force her to do it. I like it when people always tell me, oh, the devil made me do it. He can't make you do it. And that's good to know, because people are afraid the devil will make them do something. He can't make you sin. He can't make you hurt people. He can't make you do something. Did you hear me? He can't do it. He can't kill you or destroy you. When you know who you are in God and rise up on who you are, you realize he doesn't have that power. What does he do? He tries to get you, to convince you, to deceive you.
That's right.
To do something wrong. To deceive you. Catch this. To give up. The devil can't kill someone who's standing in faith. He has to deceive them to give up. Deceive them to throw in the towel. Deceive them to walk away from God. Deceive them. And so he uses deceptive tools to convince people to do what he wants them to do. He can't force you if you're born again. He can't force you. Though, oh, I'm so afraid the devil's going to make me. Oh, see, he's deceived you in believing he's more powerful than he actually is. That's the power of deception. In fact, the Revelation tells us that when the devil will stand before the throne of God, and one day he will, to be judged, it says that the nations of the world will be amazed, not by how powerful he is, but literally how such an insignificant figure has kept the nations of the world bound for so many years. He works in darkness. He doesn't work in light. He works in darkness. As long as you're ignorant of what you have and who you are, he can deceive you.
That's right.
And Webster defines deception as the act of getting someone to believe something that is not true.
Yeah.
We know there's deceivers. They might be hackers trying to get into your account. They might be politicians on TV. Come on, somebody.
Come on.
And that's not against any party. That's against all parties. Just because someone says it on the news doesn't mean it's true. Just because someone's selling you something, it says something to you, doesn't mean it's right. I was talking to a person once, and they're like, oh, they're giving me such a great deal on this car.
Mm-hmm.
And I have family that sells cars, but just I've come to the realization. When I was young, I used to think I could get a good deal on a car. Now I've come to the realization, if I'm going to buy a car from a dealership, the goal is not to get a great deal. The goal is to minimize the loss as much as possible. You might think you're good at negotiating, but they do it all day, every day, for years. But there are people out there that try to deceive. It's a tactic of the enemy.
Yeah.
And the devil uses people to try to deceive you from what God has for you. If you have your Bibles, that was our lead into our thought today. Today I'm talking about defeating deception.
Yes.
Can you imagine if you had some path, some steps, some key elements that you could apply in major decisions of life that would keep you from being deceived? If you look back at, and I think we can all do this, and see some of the holes in life that we have fallen into, the pits, the problems we've dealt with, a lot of times it's like, if I only knew then what I know now, if I was aware, if I wasn't deceived by that person who said they could do something but they couldn't, who said something would happen and it wouldn't, who acted with confidence as a fact and still had no idea. Paul talks in this next, as we go through, we finished Ephesians. Last week we started on the book of Galatians. We're just going through verse by verse as a teaching. But Paul brings us into a whole context of people that were being deceived. They were being deceived because they were Christians that are getting saved, and yet in the early days of the church, this whole new identity of going from Judaism to Christianity, from the traditions of what they had been historically into a path of being part of this new idea called the church. We've been around the church. Many of us have been, grew up in the church or been a part of a church for many years. This is a new idea that was happening. And they were having to find and walk their way through. And all of a sudden, there was people trying to deceive them, purposely twisting the gospel to create another way to salvation, creating another path to heaven. I know we've never had to deal with that in our day and age. It's a little different, but it's still the same spirit that tries to convince people that, oh, you don't have to accept Jesus to get to heaven. You don't have to do it what the Bible says. No, there's other ways. There's many ways. There must be many ways to heaven. And that's not what the Bible says. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And so we're going to pick up with this tension, this problem that Paul is now dealing with the Galatian church. Because many of them started with salvation and the following God and serving God in this new thing called the church, Christianity. And now they're starting to back away because somebody said, have you ever had somebody whisper in your ear? You got a hold of what God was doing and someone said something to you. Oh, God doesn't do that anymore. Oh, I heard a preacher say, you can hear a lot of preachers say a lot of different things. And just because people have titles, just because people have visibility doesn't mean what they are saying is right. I've seen people so energized by a fact, and you find out their source. Their source is a comment from somebody else who had a comment from somebody else who wrote a book 300 years ago, and nowhere are they giving a book, a chapter, or a verse. They are repeating the ideologies of others without any Bible basis. That's why around here we've challenged you. One of the rhythms that I think is unique about Hope Church versus other churches is we tell you, regardless of who says it, regardless if I say it, challenge everything with the Word of God. Amen. I want to develop a culture of not, because if I could be totally transparent, a lot of times good people who love God and come to be part of a church, they can become so passive and so gullible. And I don't want you to be gullible for anything, any tactic, because what is riding on the line is eternity. Just not if you're blessed or not, just not if you have peace or not, but literally eternity. The devil does not want you to make it to heaven. And if you think, oh, I'm strong and it'll never happen. Listen, in Matthew 24, Jesus said that in the last days, many will come. Not one, not two, but many. It will be a common thing for people to show up and say, lo, there's Christ, or here's Christ, or he's over here. Because the enemy's tactic is not trying to get you necessarily to leave God and begin to serve the devil. Many times the devil's tactic is to get you to leave God and serve who you think is to be God. Because the spirit of antichrist, the word anti just doesn't mean against. Anti also means instead of. And there's people who have been to church, and some maybe who go to church that are following the spirit of antichrist. You say, oh, are they devil worshipers? No, you don't have to be a devil worshiper to be caught up in the spirit of antichrist. Antichrist represents anything that takes the place of Jesus in your life. For some people, it is success. And God wants you to be successful, but he wants to stay number one in your life. Oh, I can't go to church. We're doing so well that we bought a boat and we have to go be every weekend on our boat. Come on. Don't shout me down. It's enticing, Matthew 13. It's enticing. Oh, we got to do this. And people will embrace ideas of that look good, but literally leads them down the wrong path. Why? Because it's not about if you go have a boat or don't have a boat. Jesus wants you to be blessed. I don't have a boat. If you want to, and the reason I don't have a boat is I don't want one. Because every time I see people that have boats, they're always cleaning it. I'm like, why do you spend so much money to do something that just creates you another job? I mean, that's just me. But I mean, that, if you have a boat, I'm happy for you. I'm happy for you. That's great. But it's not the boat. It's not the car. It's not the house. It's not the career. It's not the things. It's when the things entice you away from your relationship from God. And Jesus said in Matthew 24, many will come and say, hey, I'm over here. Hey, how about this? Hey, you know, reading your Bible is not important. Going to church is not that important. Serving God, you can do it casually. And the goal is to get you away from Him. Yeah. Oh, I'll never, 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 ever fall for that. Sounds like Peter telling Jesus, I'll never deny you. See, the danger of deception is that you don't always know you're deceived. Because people that are deceived believe that they're not deceived. People that are deceived believe they're right. People that are deceived believe that they're right to the point of arguing the point. It's getting quiet. That's when you see if people are just, and think they're right and can be wrong. And that's why if you come across people like that, don't be angry with them. Pray for them. Pray for them. Ephesians 1, that the Holy Spirit, that the eyes of their understanding be enlightened, that they may know. Because the Bible tells us that the devil blinds the minds of people lest they see the light of the glorious gospel. God does not want you to be deceived. What has He given us so that we can test out the decisions of life, the relationships of life, the choices of life? Do I buy that? Do I not buy that? Do I take this job? Do I go to this promotion? How do I find out the path of life? You say, oh, it should be easy. Well, Jesus said, wide is the road to destruction. And many find that. But narrow is the road to righteousness and life. You have to look for it to find it. And if you casually approach God and go with the flow and stay with the trend, it doesn't mean you have to be weird. It doesn't mean that you can't dress correctly. It doesn't mean you need a haircut from the 1980s. But it does mean that your heart is right with God. Amen. Amen. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. We're going to read this together. It's got a New Living Translation. You can look to the screen. We're going to read it together. Are you ready? One, two, three, go. Give yourself a hand clap. You're doing such a great job. Let's begin with prayer. Father, I thank you for the power of truth. I thank you, your word says, as we continue in the word, we will be your disciples, and then we will know the truth, and the truth will set us free. So right now, we come against every blinder, every tactic of the enemy that would withhold or restrict or try to prevent us from seeing the truth of your word. Let the word spoken today not be my words, but Father, let it be the anointed of your word coming and being revealed to the hearts of those who are open and hungry for you. And as we approach you with the true heart, with our heart and our eyes and our ears wide open, I thank you that we ask that the Holy Spirit reveal that word, empower us, strengthen us, so that we can embrace and become all that you've called us to become, to do what you've called us to do, and to have what you called us to have. And we give you praise. And everybody said, amen. I want you to notice out of the Galatians 1, again, verses 6, it said, I'm not shocked that you are turning away so soon. Then he goes on to say, you are following a different way that pretends to be the good news. And he goes on to say, you're being fooled by those who deliberately twist the truth. I want to reverse that order, but it shows us a path of what happens. Deception happens because someone has come and twisted the truth. Right. Most cults start with 2% of truth and then 98% of error. They knock on your door and they'll give you an obscure scripture that's in the Bible that you didn't know, and they'll quote it fluently, easily, like it's common knowledge to them. And you look up the first two and like, wow, it's in the Bible. And then 98% of the rest they say is not even in there. Because most people don't pursue to challenge it. The devil doesn't try to create something. The devil is not a creator. Are you listening to me? He is not a creator. He is a created being. You and I are in the image of God. The devil does not have the power to create, nor does he have the power to repent. He is a fallen angel. And so what he does, and anything he does, is what he has seen God do, and he twists it. It's the twisting of the truth. So the devil doesn't create something. He finds out what God is doing, and he twists it. Music, words. In fact, the word wicked means twisted. You might have wicker furniture. What is that? Wood that's been twisted. That's where that word comes from. And so what is wicked doesn't mean that they're necessarily hateful. What is wicked is twisting of the truth. When the spies came back and they said, it is as God said, but we can't go in, God called it an evil report. Why? It was the twisting of the truth. For God said, that's the land I've given you, and I am well able to take you in there and give you victory if you believe. Joshua and Caleb said, we must go now, for God has given us the victory. Let's take them.
Right.
It's not the devil's tactic to give you new ideas. He's taken what God has said and twisted it, and that's what he uses.
Yes. Right.
And so if we can learn to discern the difference, and so here we see the process of deception is someone taking a little bit of truth and twisting it. I've seen good people that get deceived and be in churches, and they'll take a little bit of truth and from the platform twist it and change what it was supposed to be meaning. That's called, you can say, taking it out of context. Literally, if you know the Bible, mental knowledge, if you know the Bible enough, you can almost get it to say some weird stuff. And it's not in the context. That's why I challenge you. I'm going to develop you as men and women of God to not be baby Christians. You start off as a baby Christian, but I want you to grow into the things of God that you learn to challenge every idea. And if someone says something, ask them, where's that in the Bible? And if it's in the Bible, begin to read the verses of context before and after. Because there's a lot of churches. My wife and I, we were flipping through and saw on Netflix. I didn't remember this was going down, even though it happened in our lifetime. And there was a church group, and I guess I can tell you some of the information because it's on Netflix, so it's not private, but they had a program called Way Down that went on a national scale, and it became literally like a cult where people couldn't take a vacation unless they approved it, people started dying of some of the abuse that was going on. They were telling parents, this is how you have to discipline your children, and kids were being abused, and some started dying, and an investigation blown up, and they found out that there was, literally, if you didn't do, they had the members report on the other members if they were doing wrong, and they'd bring them in for verbal abuse. Some of you maybe came out of church, it's getting quiet, so that means some of you maybe have come out of churches, that was so controlling that if you didn't do what they wanted you to do, you were verbally abused or embarrassed. I've seen people in the pulpit start running other people down publicly. That's not of God. God doesn't bring you out of the power of darkness into the kingdom of light so you can be controlled and abused. Are you listening? Now, if that's all you know, it's almost like incarceration does to the mind of a person who's been in prison their whole life. It's uncomfortable to be around something that's not controlling you if all you know is control. I've had people come to Hope Church, and at Hope Church, we believe in the freedom. Well, you need to control those people. No, I can't control you. Are you kidding? Well, they all need to be, and we believe in small groups and accountability, but listen, if you're going to commit adultery, you'll lie to your accountability partner. If you're going to lie to your spouse, I mean, right? Are you watching bad movies? Right? We let the Holy Spirit do what the Holy Spirit wants to do, and He's the one that cleans the fish. We're just supposed to catch the fish. Oh, if you don't control people, then they won't be serving God. Listen, let me help you out. If you need someone to control you to serve Jesus, you're not saved. Let me just help you out. I'm not saying that as Christians, we deal with temptation, and the devil will try to tempt you. That's just part of this side of carnality, this side of eternity, dealing with the human carnality. But if you need someone controlling you to keep you from sinning, you're not saved. Repent, 1 John 1, and repent and get saved, have a heart renewal, and then you can live for Jesus because it's the Holy Spirit that frees you. Amen. But I've noticed even in the church world, we talk that way and people get nervous. Oh, no, that can't be right. A lot of people don't like freedom. A lot of people don't. Listen, we want you as close in your relationship with the Lord. Because if you can lie, you're going to lie. Did you do this? Nope. It's good to have people support you, encourage you. But if you think that people still can't get around that, I mean, the SEC has some of the strictest rules on investing, but there's still people who try to get around that. Right. Ask Bernie Madoff, who's in prison. Right? There's a lot of people in every field. So it's not a matter of creating a system that controls people. It's getting people into the life of God through the Word of God and the Spirit of God and letting them be free because the Holy Spirit knows everything. Amen. And He's the one that convinces us of sin, the Bible says. And I'd rather be dealing with a person who's mad at me than the Holy Spirit who's convicting me. Come on, somebody. If you've ever been convicted by the Holy Spirit, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. It's like, all right, Lord, I just repent. I concede. I give in. It was wrong. Lord, forgive me. The process starts when someone begins to tell you something that's twisting, that's a deception. And notice, and all of a sudden, it begins to get us to think differently, and we begin to follow a different routine, follow a different path. Yeah. And then the ultimate goal is you are turning away. It didn't say they were forcing you to turn away. You are turning away. You are fooled. You are following a different path. You are turning away. The end result is you turn away from what God has for you. Yeah. You turn away from the relationship God has for you. What is some of the key elements for us so that we can begin to learn how to defeat deception? I'm going to give you three keys. Number one, are you ready? If you're taking notes, write this down. The most important one, and that's the Word of God. That's the Bible. That's the Bible. Did you hear me? Challenge everything with the Word of God. You don't judge things by your emotions. You judge it by the Word of God. Priority. Notice how even in Galatians 1, Paul was so bold about this. He said, let God's curse fall on anyone. Verse 8, let God's curse fall on anyone, including us or even an angel from heaven who preaches a different kind of the good news or the gospel than the one we preach to you. What was he saying? I don't care if an angel shows up. If it's out of alignment with the word, let it go. Are you listening to me? I don't care if a prophet prophesied over you. If it's out of the alignment of the word of God, let it go. I believe in prophets. I have a relationship with people who actually operate in the fivefold, that gift of the fivefold ministries of prophet. I also have people that I know who operate in the 1 Corinthians 12, the gift of prophecy. And you might be operating in the gift of prophecy, 1 Corinthians 12, but that doesn't make you a prophet. Right. Most people don't get that. A New Testament prophet and an Old Testament prophet are literally different. Because in the Old Testament, they needed a prophet to find the mind of God, the word of God spoken to them. In the New Testament, Jesus didn't say, my sheep will follow the prophet. No, we're led by the Spirit, not by the prophets. Amen. Now, some of you looking at me like you never heard what a prophet is. Some of you are like, oh, no, I'm in line. But I want you to know something. If anybody ever gives you a personal prophecy, there's two standards it must meet. Number one, it will always, say always. Always. It will always be in alignment with what God has already spoken to you. Yeah. Someone comes up, you know, I've been praying for you, and God really placed this on my heart. I have people do that to me on a regular basis, and it's like, I don't even know what they're talking about, but that's okay. That's between the, God bless you, we love you, and I'll be praying for you. If the Lord sends people, and he can do this, but if the Lord ever sends people into your life to speak to you, it will always, always, always be in alignment with something he's already spoken to you about. It's a confirmation. And two, always, always, always in alignment with the Word of God. You say, well, that's kind of obvious. No, it's not, because I've had pastors tell me, hey, pastor, I don't need the Bible anymore because of the Holy Spirit and revelation, I get higher knowledge. Wow. Are you listening to me? There is no higher knowledge than the Bible. Right. You can have deeper revelation of the Word of God, but you can't have revelation above the Word of God. Let me say that again. You can have deeper revelation of the Word of God, but not higher revelation above it. For Psalms 138:2 says that he has elevated his word above his name. Yes. And his name, the Word of God tells us, is elevated high above all principalities and powers. Yes. You can't have, oh, I have truth because the Holy Spirit has told me, I heard him say it. And listen, folks, let me help you out. The Bible tells us that we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the glory may be of God, not of man. You know what that means? That means we're still dealing with humanity. We're still dealing with people. And though they might be sincere, and some people aren't, though they might be sincere, they could be sincerely wrong. I don't know, maybe they had pizza last night and they've had an amazing dream about you. Maybe they're mad, or maybe they're emotionally, or maybe there's some personal benefit to them. We're still dealing with humans. Yeah. Only Jesus is perfect. If you, as long as you're looking for perfection in humanity, you're going to be very disappointed.
Yes.
Because we still deal with humans, even anointed ones, even gifted ones. Some people don't understand the anointing. Some people think the anointing is charisma. And there's people with great charisma but lacking anointing.
Yeah.
See my point?
Yeah.
Oh, but they have so many people that listen to them. Well, that's fine, but there's a lot of weird stuff out there that have great followers. Jesus said, wide is the road. Yeah. They might be good people, and they just might have missed it if it's out of alignment. And I've seen, in my life of ministry, I have seen pastors miss this mark. Where somebody comes in as a prophet and says, you know what, God's called me to pastor your church and you're called to step down. And they step down.
Wow.
I've seen people say, the Lord told me you're supposed to marry me and divorce your spouse. And they divorce their spouse. You said, no, yes. Why? Because they weren't taught correctly. Find me a scripture that says divorce your spouse and marry someone who's called and said they're anointed to be your spouse. Not in there. Not in there. And we love, it's a human nature. We like the spectacular. But Paul says, listen, if the grandiose spectacular happens and it's not in alignment with the word, let it be cursed.
Amen.
If an angel shows up and says, there's a different way, let it be cursed.
Amen.
The Word, say with me, the Bible, which is the Word of God. Come on, say with me. Say the Bible, which is the Word of God, is the final authority. Oh, but Pastor, I feel so strongly. That's your emotions. Hebrews 4:12 reads it this way. For the Word of God is alive and powerful. King James says, quick. The Word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between the soul and the spirit. See, you're a three-part person. You are a spirit person, you live in a body, and you have a soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions. And some people, it takes development to learn the difference between your spirit person and your soul person. Your soul person get really super excited about something, and a few days later is no longer excited about it. Your soul really wants and wants and wants, but your spirit person can want, but it's a different. There's a difference. And a learning to develop. How do I begin to develop? Get the word on the situation. It'll line you up correctly, because you're not called to line up by appearance. You're called, the word of God is like a plumb line, and you line yourself up to the plumb line. I've helped people in construction. Bad idea. And when we build a wall, we're like, that looks straight. And then someone puts a plumb line next to it, and that wall is crooked. It looks straight to my perspective, but it was crooked in the alignment of something that's a true line. It looks right to the natural mind. It looks right to the trend. It looks right to what everybody else is doing. It looks right based on TV and movies. It looks right to what people are saying around me. But when it lines up to the straight line of the truth of the Word of God, is it correct? Judge everything by the Word of God. It separates. Oh, but Pastor, I really want. Just tell yourself to shut up sometimes. But I need. No, you're in greed. For the word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than two-edged sword, cutting between the soul and spirit, between the joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. What does the Word of God say? That is the most important element here. What does the Bible say? Find a verse. I don't know if it's going to be in the Bible. It's in the Bible. Yeah. Don't take it out of context. It's in the Bible. It will help you stay in the path of righteousness and not be deceived. But I know, Pastor, I know, but you don't understand. My situation's a little different. Have you ever heard somebody say that? So the person who's committing adultery, to the person who's being dishonest, to the person who's stabbing somebody in the back so they can have their job, to the person, it's always different for the person who's doing it. Right. What's your motivation? Oh, it's different. You don't understand. I know it's wrong. I know I need to cheat, but it's important for me to get this job. It's getting quiet. Help us, Jesus. Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, notice, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The Word of God helps you prove and know the will of God. But I'm under pressure. Pressure does not change the Word. People should not change the Word. Do not interpret the word from your perspective and what you want. Interpret your perspective and what you want from the context of the word. Amen. There's people that do not believe that God heals today because somewhere they or someone they know or someone told them that told somebody that told them. And they prayed for someone to get healed and it didn't happen, and they came to the conclusion, I am going to interpret my pain, my situation, and I'm going to interpret the word of God in light of that. And so they go around and say, well, I guess God doesn't heal anymore because I prayed and I'm a good person, and if God was going to heal, they would have healed, and God didn't heal my great-grandfather, and so I know God doesn't heal anymore. The man was 92. Let him go. You're praying, Lord, keep him alive. And he's quietly praying, Lord, take me home. You don't know what's going on in that situation. But all of a sudden, people start making doctrinal statements, living and teaching people twisted truths because of experiences that they have had. Number two, three keys to defeating deception. Number one is the Word of God. The second one, the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, so important that Jesus said, it's imperative that I go away, for your benefit that I go away, so that the Father can send the Comforter, the Paraclete in the Greek, the other Comforter, the replacement of Him, so He could be in all of us, so that you are now, according to the Word of God, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. God's presence dwells in you. You're not lacking power. What we lack is our mind being renewed to the Word of God so we know what's available. Because you are already hooked up to the greatest power source of all. Amen. For greater is he that is in you than he is in the world, the Bible says. Don't take my word for it. Challenge it. Challenge it. I believe the Holy Spirit guides us several ways. Number one, Colossians 3:15. I'm not going to put it on the screen. It talks about let the peace of God be an umpire in every decision. The Holy Spirit can bear witness with our spirit that we're the sons of God, sons and daughters, and he will bear with, give you peace on the inside. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You go to make a major decision and something's just not right. An uneasiness. Don't move forward. Right. When you come on a journey and you come to a stop and something's not right, don't move forward yet. Right. Something's changed. Find the mind of God. Amen. Find the mind of God. Don't move forward. So I'm going to push through this. What I feel as opposition on the inside of my spirit. I don't care what God says. I know something's not right, but I love him anyway. Yeah. You better find out who else has been loving him anyway. Is this practical? The Holy Spirit will bear witness. He'll give you peace. Call it a green light. Call it red light. Even in a, and this is a key element in all of our lives available if you're a child of God. And the Holy Spirit will move upon you in your spirit. You might not feel goosebumps and it's not woo, but just something's right or something's not right.
Right, right.
There was a few years ago, we were looking to hire this marketing company and had several meetings with them and loved it. It was a local company. They, you know what I mean, loved what they were saying. And on our fourth meeting, we moved to the contractual phase and we were going to give them a large deposit to begin starting to help us with our marketing efforts. Historically, you know, I mean, that was done in-house, but it was just getting to the place of needed outside help because of time. And so on the meeting, as we're signing the papers, all of a sudden, as I went to get the check to hand to them, I had an uneasiness in my spirit. And I thought, Lord, this is, what's wrong? You know, and I go through a mental check, maybe you do. Have I eaten something? Is there something wrong? Is something, you know what I mean? You go through, is it a natural thing? Is it a spiritual thing? And I finally, it just wouldn't let up. And so finally, in my own self, as I was walking down the hallway to get the check and come back to the meeting, I just said, Lord, if this is you, make it clear. Yeah. Open my eyes, Ephesians 1. Make it clear to me. If this is you, make it clear to me. So I know this is you, because I don't want to walk away from an opportunity if this is a God opportunity, and I don't want to step in something that's not a God opportunity. Can I get an amen? Because our priority is to do the will of God, not to do the will of what interests us. Amen. So I don't look at myself as the one who makes all decisions. I feel like I'm the middle manager to what the Lord wants. Yeah. I'm looking for the mind of God on stuff, not my personal interest. And so I was just praying, Lord, just make it clear. Lord, if this is you, something's not right. Something is, I haven't felt it before. I'm feeling it now. I don't know what it is. Lord, make it clear. Yeah. I don't want to be vague. I want to be clear. Yeah. And I left it. And I went back and handed them a check. And we're sitting there. And the meeting was ending. And the owner of the company stood up. And out of their mouth, just randomly, wasn't in conversation, wasn't in context, on the exit of the meeting, stood up and said, oh, by the way, we've hired a witch. I went, that's concerning.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, no, but don't worry. She's a good person, and she thinks she's a white witch, and she won't be dealing anything with what you're dealing with. You know what I mean? She won't work on your account at all. Now, I didn't know that from the natural.
Right.
The Holy Spirit knew that from the natural.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, we can't continue. I just said, I can't do this. No disrespect. Sorry for wasting your time, but I can't be in business with someone who's a witch. And the person with them that was working for him, that was going to be our rep for our account, said, that was so unlike them. They never blurt out stuff.
Yes, indeed.
That was the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Come on. One of the things I encourage you to do is if you get an uneasiness, you can just walk away from it, or you can say, Lord, make it clear. Show me. What am I missing here? Show me. He will show us things to come. John 16. Another way the Holy Spirit works is also in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 10. One of the gifts of the Spirit. Now, if you don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit, that's fine. We still love you. You can love us. But the gifts of the Spirit are a real thing. It's in the New Testament. That age has not ended. It's the church age.
Right.
You know, people get all freaked out about the Holy Spirit or the praying in tongues, and I think it's because there's gone at such extremes. You know what I mean? And people get weird on both sides. No, you can keep it central to the road.
Yeah.
1 Corinthians 14 is very specific. It said, Paul says, I pray in tongues more than you all. And he also said in 1 Corinthians 14, look it up. Don't forbid anybody from speaking in tongues. That's the New Testament. It works. I enjoy the benefit. You don't have to. Don't have to be weird. I don't understand it. I know. We need to do a whole message on that so I can walk you through the Bible. But it's in the Bible. But one of the gifts of the Spirit is called the discerning of spirits.
Right.
That doesn't mean you see demons. It means that you can discern the difference when something's from God and when something's not from God.
Right.
And 1 Corinthians 14:1 tells us to make love a priority, because if you don't have love, you can really mess some people up trying to operate in gifts of the Spirit. But desire spiritual gifts. And the Holy Spirit, you ought to ask, Lord, give me the gift of discerning spirits, because I want to, in my spirit, I want to know something's not of God.
Yeah.
You're not hearing voices. Don't look for voices, my friend. Can God speak to you in voices? Yeah, and I've had him speak to me that way. But the thing is, if you look for voices, the devil will confuse you. And there's been a lot of people that have done some weird stuff blaming it on God, but they didn't line it up with the first key, and that's in the Word.
Right.
Well, the Holy Spirit told me, or God told me to do that. That wasn't God.
Right.
How do you know? Because you can look to the Word.
Yes.
God wouldn't tell you to divorce your wife and marry somebody else.
Right.
That's not in the Word.
Exactly.
It's getting quiet. But there's times in your life where all of a sudden you can look at somebody and from the natural they look like they are the right, genuine person.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden the Holy Spirit saying, no, they're not. This is not right. The inward witness, the gift of the Spirit, and I always line up with the Word of God. John 16, let me confirm that. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, referring to the Holy Spirit, he will guide you into all truth. He guides you into what? All truth. He will guide you into truth. Truth comes from where? The Word. Jesus said, if you continue in my Word, then you are my disciples, and you shall know the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me.
Amen.
John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh, which referred to Jesus. He is the Word. He is truth. The Holy Spirit will not speak of himself. He will speak, guide you into the Word, the truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come.
Yes.
Oh, I need to take this job. Don't take it. Oh, it's a good job. Don't take it. But I'd like to have that raise. Don't take it. Because that job might be closing in 6 months. You don't know. That job might take you outside of the will of God and cause you. And you don't have to, listen, this is not for you to freak out in the realm of your, well, what if I miss it? What if I, don't get, you're, listen, you're in fear already. Back up and take a deep breath. Because the presence of God will bring faith, Romans 10:17, and faith gives you rest, Hebrews 4.
Yes.
He will guide you into all truth. Three keys to defeating deception. Number one, the Word of God. Are you getting anything from this morning?
Yes.
The Word of God, say the Word of God.
Word of God.
The Spirit of God, say the Spirit of God.
Spirit.
And the Holy Spirit always be in line with the Word of God. The other ones never negate that. And third, last but not least, the family of God.
Yeah.
This is practical. Ephesians 4, verse 14 says, then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. What happens? Oh, I heard a person teach this, and oh, I went to YouTube and saw this teaching, and all of a sudden, and technology is great, and it's great to reach a lot of people, but it's also opened up a lot of things to people that you would never have been exposed to.
Right.
Oh, but this person says this. They got a lot of followers. They can have a lot of followers, but that does not validate the Word.
Right.
Your emotions do not validate the truth of the Word.
Right.
The Word validates the Word. Then we'll no longer be immature like children, tossed about and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies, so clever that they sound like the truth.
Yes.
Instead, we will speak the truth in love. growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body in the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other part grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full in love. That's the benefit of having relationships with other believers.
Right.
Not just with your family, but also in the community, the local church.
Amen.
Because if they're walking with God and they're right with God, and no one's perfect, then they should have the opportunity to be able to speak the truth, listen to me, in love.
Amen.
I know a lot of people who are just looking to speak the truth, but they're doing it out of their own love. They're doing it out of their own ego. If they speak the truth trying to hurt you and put you in your place and make themselves look good, they're not doing it out of love. The love of God is to your benefit. For God so loved the world that he gave. When someone's truly speaking the truth in love, that's maybe a confrontational truth like we see Paul was to the church. He goes, I am shocked that you guys are bolting so quickly.
Right.
When someone is really speaking the truth in love, one of the characteristics of that process in my own life I've seen is a tough conversation with somebody that you don't want to have, but you need to have with them.
Right.
If someone's looking to put you in your place, they might be right, but it's not truth and love.
Yeah.
It's okay to have people in your life that say, hey, listen, I've noticed something looks like you're carrying an extra weight. I've noticed what's going on in your life. We've all been around where we've seen people go through a horrible time, and we think to ourselves, if they would only have told me, I would have been glad to help them. But the truth be told is that if you're not close enough in relationship to them to notice it, you're probably not going to be there to help them with it.
Right.
If you're not close enough to notice it, you won't be there to help them with it.
Yeah.
That's the benefit of a body working together, connected together, that you can notice the nuances of someone when they're going through a problem and you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit and say, listen, maybe even in the natural, I didn't notice it, but the Lord's been placing you on my heart and I've been praying for you and maybe I'm fasting and praying for you or I'm here for you or I want to listen to you. What are you doing? We work together to build up the body.
Amen.
To grow. When everybody who loves you is screaming, stop! Maybe you should at least listen. I ain't gonna listen to nobody. You know, one of the biggest dangers, and I reference it in joking, but one of the biggest challenges people deal with is in the area of their emotions.
Yeah.
I am not listening. I want this so bad. I love them so much. I don't care what the Bible says. I don't care what my family says. I don't care what I'm feeling. It's, I love them. I have to marry them. And then down the road, you're like, what was I thinking? Because the power of deception is that you're not aware that you're being deceived. They made me mad. They offended me. I don't care what they're doing. The power of deception is you're not aware that you're being deceived. Have people around you that can speak into your life. And I will say this. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
Each one of these are important, but each one's not a priority. If you have people speaking into your life and it's out of alignment with the Word of God,
yeah,
find new people.
Right.
Because the Bible says that the wrong company corrupts good character or good morals.
Right.
You can be around people that reinforce the wrong idea.
Oh,
all my friends are doing it. Maybe if it's out of alignment with the Word of God, everything climbs back up. What is the Holy Spirit saying in my spirit? Oh, I don't sense anything. Well, are you spending time in prayer and the Word? Well, no, I don't need to. I think you need to.
Yeah.
To stay sensitive. It's like what Pastor David Oyedepo out of Lagos, Nigeria says. You can walk with common sense. We need common sense, but that's like if you're going to go from here to Kansas City and say, I'm going to go on a trip, and you begin to walk it, you will get there, maybe, but eventually. Common sense is that level of getting you on the right path, but it's a slow pace.
Yeah.
But if you're like, listen, I'm going to live by principles, principles will get you there faster, but revelation is the fastest.
Amen.
God wants you to reach your destiny. The devil wants to deter you. He can't force you off the road, but he puts up signs everywhere. Exit here. Try this. Go there. This is what appears to be faster, and you find yourself going down the wrong road and trying to make up. If that's you, just repent. Don't make it emotional. Repent means get off at the closest exit and turn around and come back.
Yeah.
You don't have to cry. You don't have to make yourself feel embarrassed. Just repent. He said, Lord, open my eyes. That's what David said. Search me like a book and see if there's anything that's wrong and guide me. Why? Because if we don't allow the Lord to guide us through his word and the leading of his Holy Spirit, and the community brings us into it, but we find ourselves doing it on our own, and we wake up saying, man, I was deceived. How did I not see that? Because the power of deception is you're not aware that you're being deceived. Eve was deceived. Jesus said that, listen, in the last days, many will come, and they'll even do demonstrations of signs and wonders, and even the elect can be deceived. You got to back up and say, keep your heart right with God. Amen. Keep your conscience clear with God. Yes. Keep the peace of God in your spirit, the word of God in your heart, praying, staying in relationship with God, and knowing that the word is priority. That even if an angel says it's okay and everybody around you says okay, if it's in conflict with the word is the final authority. And when you live your life that way, guess what? You'll begin to experience all that God has for you as you walk this journey of faith and patience out and begin to receive what God has for you. Inherit it. Why? Because it belongs to you. Just stay on the journey. Stay on the journey and begin to enjoy the victories that God has for you. Amen? Amen. Say, I will not be deceived.
I will not be deceived.
God doesn't want you to be deceived.
Amen.
Many times in the Bible it says, be not deceived. Why? Because it's possible, but it doesn't have to happen. Amen?
Amen.
Let's not waste any more time. Let's stay on the path that God wants us to stay. If you believe that, give me the loudest shout of amen. We're done. If you bow your head and close your eyes, if you're here today and do not have a real relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm not asking if you know about God. I'm asking you, do you have a real relationship? Do you know for yourself that he's real? Not if you know about him, but is he real in a way that you know, the way you process and experience that he is real? Your Lord and Savior. If you don't, you can. If you don't, you can. Revelation 3, Jesus said, I stand at the door and I knock. If you hear my voice and open up, I'll come in. When he's tugging on your heart, believe and you receive it. Romans tells us, those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10. With the heart man believes, with mouth confession is made unto salvation. So I'm going to lead you in a very short but powerful eternal prayer. Let it come from your heart and watch what the Lord will do in your life. If you don't know him, or you've walked away from him, or you're no longer serving him, let this be your moment to come back to him. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I repent of all my sins. I turn to you today. I believe in my heart, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to this earth in the flesh, died on a cross for my sins, was buried for me, and on the third day rose again for me. Because I believe that, I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, forgive me, cleanse me with your blood. Be my Lord and Savior. Say, Jesus, I open up the door of my heart and life, and I invite you in to be my Savior and my Lord. Thank you for saving me. Amen. All right, if you prayed that prayer, I want to be the first to say welcome to the family of God. Also, I want to just speak a blessing over your life. So here's what I want you to do. At the count of three, if you prayed that prayer, you meant business with God. At the count of three, I want you to stand to your feet. Now, some of you are bold. You'll be quick. Some are shy. But I want those who are bold to jump quick. You say, but I don't know if I want to stand in front of people. I know it's awkward, but if it's hard here in front of people that are just clapping for you, what do you deal with when people are out there talking and trying to get you to be deceived? We need in this last day a level of strength in every believer that the Bible says that be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. That you can be strengthened with might in the inner man by the Holy Spirit. Because we can't live on our day and age and be the light in the dark world, being passive and weak. We have to be strong and courageous, Joshua 1, 6 through 8. So I'm going to challenge and encourage you. I want to speak a blessing over your life. I'm going to pray that the blood of Jesus would sanctify your home and that God would give you the anointing and supernatural strength to stand and be who he's called you to be. If that's you, at the count of three, you prayed that prayer and meant business with God, I want you to stand to your feet. One, two, three. Stand now in Jesus' name. Who am I talking to? Thank you, young man. And who else? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Come on, give him a big hand clap. It's a big moment. I believe there's more. Who else am I talking to? Don't miss it. No, stay standing. Stay standing. Stay standing. Stay standing. Stretch your hands toward them. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for every person that's come into the family of God today. And Lord, we plead the blood of Jesus over their lives and their home. We curse and bind the tactic of the enemy and the devices and weapons the devil has used them successfully in the past. We call them to be in failure now. And Lord, I just ask that you anoint them and strengthen them with might by your Holy Spirit in the inner person. Give them supernatural strength to stand for you, to live for you. And I thank you as they continue to obey you. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen. God bless you. Give them a big hand clap. You may be seated. Once again, it's an honor and privilege to have each and every one of you worship the Lord with us. I encourage you, make sure you're open. Let God use you to invite someone to church. We are in the last days. It's important that we stay aware. That's the Tag by God wristband is a great opportunity to tag someone, bless them, invite them to church, whatever your level of faith is. But be a part of reaching the unchurched and the unsaved. Amen. Before we dismiss, there'll be prayer partners down here if you need one-on-one prayer following the service. We have our food pantry, clothing store will be open. A lot of outreach is happening, a lot of events going on as we get closer to Christmas. But I just want to speak a blessing over your lives that come out of Numbers chapter 6, verse 24. You can lift your hand if you want to receive it as we close today. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, God bless you. We love you. Proud of you. Have a great day. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.